In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Dear faithful, St. Paul's epistle today echoes Jesus' teaching when he said, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. This is hard to do because it's difficult for us to love those who made bad actions toward us. And we are tempted to say, well, Jesus is God, so he is able to forgive, but I cannot. Sometimes we are so tempted to think that God doesn't do his mission, his job very well, and that we would be more able to use a whip in order to chastise the world which does not believe in God and fight against him. But, dear faithful, it is not up to us to punish sinners. God is better able to judge them because he knows all things. He knows all the circumstances of every sin and event. We cannot read the hearts of others, but he can. We have difficulty forgiving others because of the pain we feel for an injury received. We suffer, and slowly but surely, our resentment harms us even more deeply. Forgiveness means the pardon of an offense. When we forgive, we discover the value and beneficial results of forgiveness. When we establish peace with others, we find that we are at peace with ourselves. To motivate our effort in this regard, we should remember that our prayers and sacrifices to God are not acceptable to him if we are not reconciled with others. The more we forgive, the more we will be forgiven. This morning, each of us is in the skin of the leper. We are covered with injuries on the skin of our hearts. Again, that the only efficient medicine is forgiveness. We need to be healed, and only Jesus can cure this leprosy. Relational brokenness is a fact of existence. The outcome of this brokenness, however, is up to us. It's determined by how we choose to respond to it, for it can make us either bitter or better. So it is not to say that forgiveness is always easy. Actually, it's always difficult to forgive. Depending on the depth of the wound I've inflicted, it can be extremely difficult, even heroic, and take a great deal of time, effort, and prayer. And we have to accept that it can take time. At times, it can even be one of the most difficult things we do. Yet Jesus does not make exceptions on a case-by-case basis. We must forgive. Our Lord was no stranger to strife. Not only was he hunted and persecuted by the religious authorities of his day, culminating in the cruelest rejection of the cross, but he was also scorned and mocked by a great deal of the people who should have been his most devoted followers.
Moreover, his disciples were constantly bickering about the most petty things. Though they were grown men, they frequently acted more like spoiled children. Despite this constant relational turmoil, Jesus forgave with patience and love. Forgiveness is so essential that Christ tells us that we will not be forgiven by God if we do not forgive. The degree of mercy we receive is in exact proportion to the amount of mercy we extend. So if we want God to forgive us without end, we must forgive without end. Do not expect great clemency if you will not extend it to yourself. As the Lord has forgiven us, said St. Paul, so we also must forgive. It's a fact that we all crave the benefit of the doubt from others. We all want others to forgive us, and we see the good intentions behind our actions. And we enter the confessional time after time, expecting full forgiveness and mercy from God for our sins and wickedness. Yet despite these expectations, we so often judge others severely, hold petty grudges, and think not bad, but the worst of everyone. And in these matters, unfortunately, St. Patrick's Oratory is not an exception. It is simply wrong. Because it's all about communion. Communion is not just another word for receiving the Eucharist, though the Eucharist is indeed the fullest expression of communion on earth. Communion means participating in the life of another, sharing in that life so intimately that your happiness is bound up in theirs, that you become part of each other's existence. As Catholics, we are called to communion both horizontally and vertically with God and with our neighbor. We are called to commune with the divine life, to share in the life of the Trinity in love. It's a tremendous truth. But it doesn't end there. We are also called to commune with our neighbor in love. Who is our neighbor? These persons we live with. That person's right in front of us. No matter how annoying or hurtful or stupid sometimes they can be. Unforgiveness is a poison that severs communion. Unforgiveness will destroy you, will destroy your business, will destroy your family, will destroy everything. It destroys the very relationships, horizontal and vertical, for which we are made. And that is why we are called to forgive or to ask for forgiveness. For just as God restored communion with us by forgiving our sins, we must restore communion with Him and with our neighbor by fortifying those who have hurt us. Forgiveness restores communion. It breathes life into what is dead and restores and heals what is broken. In that sense, it is one of the most holy and godlike things we can do. Let us resolve always to have hearts full of forgiveness. For he who extends great mercy without end
will receive it in the same measure. We can tell Jesus directly, Jesus, up until now, I have not been able to forgive this or that evil which I have endured. I know it's like leprosy in my soul. But I have the faith. I have the faith of the centurion, and I am convinced that you, Jesus, can bring peace and the strength of forgiveness. The forgiveness I have not been able to give, Jesus, please shape it in my soul, and then I will be cured. And I will be freed of the weight of these resentments. To forgive never means to forget. If we never forget that, Jesus is near us, we will be strong enough to do what is right. Under all circumstances, if we remember his presence, looking at his face, his grace will always be a glance of his eyes resting upon us and healing us from all our spiritual diseases. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.